Welcome, everyone, to this week's edition of Inside Harvard Football. Bernie Corbett, as always, very pleased to be joined by Harvard head coach Tim Murphy. It is our time with Tim here, a new season underway. The Crimson with a non-conference victory at the stadium. It was Friday Night Lights and a pretty eventful night and one of great excitement with the Crimson's stirring comeback in the final minutes and victory in overtime in their first ever meeting with Merrimack, and an opportunity to talk with Tim, our time with Tim, about Merrimack last Friday and most importantly about what's ahead this week with the Brown Bears. Coach, welcome as always. Not quite the way you'd want to draw it up, being down 21-7 with 4 minutes and change left, but somehow it worked out. And I guess, you know, you can incrementally find out things about a football team over the course of the year. I would suspect to say you found a lot about the mettle of this team right out of the gate on Friday. My goodness.
Well, Bernie, great to be with you. And, you know, to your point, I was told by a couple of folks after the game that everything these days in sports is metric. And I guess the Las Vegas metrics gave any team a 2% chance to win when you're down 14 points with under 5 minutes left to go. So, yeah, a tremendous character-building win. And I think you know, our mantra for so long has been, and as corny and as trite as it may sound, it's never give up, never, ever give up in life as in football. And our kids certainly didn't. It certainly took a little bit of planet, moons, and stars to get it done, but very, very proud of our kids and their character, because this was a good football team. They were a team that looked like they were playing their third game, and they were, and we conversely looked like we were playing our first game, and we were, and we have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, we seem like that has been a common theme all the time that we've been together, Coach. You're often in that situation with a non-conference opener. It's game three versus game one. The effects of that, certainly rust on the offensive side. It took some time to shake it off, but when you needed a big play, big plays were made. None bigger than Charlie Dean being able to buy a little time on that 4th and 8 in the final minutes that were able to keep you alive. And eventually, that was, I guess, a prelude to the Adrian Bourget show, which began shortly thereafter.
Yeah, huge play. Haven Manafaco made a great play right at the 6. Charlie kept the ball alive. And, you know, something we've been very impressed with in preseason, and certainly in the opening game, was Charlie's ability to make some plays with his feet. And, I think that bodes well for our offense.
Yeah, Manafalco's big reception that set things up and got you in a position where Bourget, you know, he's got home run ability. He showed it there with that 48-yard run, and that was just the beginning, as he was able to score from 5 yards out to get you in a position to tie it, and then the play in overtime. You're getting back to Dean for a minute. You don't get an opportunity for Bourget to tie the game unless he hooks up with Kim Wimberly, and it's just great to see Wimberly back and an opportunity to see his skill set on display. With the play that he and Dean made on that 40-yard reception. That was one big play that was much needed at that point.
Oh, no question. It was a big play. It was a very special play. And great throw by Charlie. You know, great job getting open against some really outstanding cover corners. And, Kim's, when we recruited him, we thought he had a chance to be tremendous. And I remember very vividly him blowing out his knee on the West Coast against the University of San Diego, catching a punt. You know, he's gone through the next 2 years, took him to rehab. He's had 2 knee surgeries. And for the first time, he looks back. It looks like he's the guy that that we recruited, looks like the guy that arrived here. And if he's healthy, he's one of those guys that is an impact player, and very excited about Kim's ability with Aiden Bourget, quality of receivers we have, 2 good tight ends and other guys in the wide receiver core. I'm really happy with our skill guys.
And the play in overtime, you only needed, as it turned out, one play in overtime to decide it on the offensive side. Then the defense, we'll talk about them in a minute, not to neglect them and their performance. But the play to Bourget seemed like, Coach, some of the comments afterwards, something you saw during the course of the game, and you kind of set it up where this is maybe there if we needed to get him in space, as you did to get the ball out to Bourget on that reception?
Yeah, I think the reality is, you know, they're playing just about all cover one, safety in the middle. And so you can just sort of, if we can sneak the running back out, then you got a mismatch against the linebacker, and he may come out clean, but you can ensure that the rest of the secondary is going to be on the other side of the field for a big play. And, you know, that's an explosive. We had played against man coverage, and we executed it flawlessly.
Enough about the offense. Let's talk about the defense. We talked last week and previewing the season and how things were going to shape up on the defensive side of the ball. I alluded to the fact that last year you were in a position. We talked about the hockey line changes last year on the defensive line where you could just freely substitute 8, 9 deep. I was curious as to you whether you still were going to have that type of confidence to do it. Well, I guess you answered my question because you still were able to play a number of guys in that defensive line, play them effectively, and the big playmaking guys that you had expectations for, such as Leskovic and Thor Griffin, I mean, they're just matchup nightmares right now, Coach.
Well, they really are, Bernie. You've got Nate on the outside, you got Thor on the inside, and the common denominator is, you know, they're really hard to block one-on-one, and it's going to be very difficult to double either guy. And I think the statistical part of it was that I think they had something like 8 tackles for a loss together, which is pretty remarkable statistic, and we certainly needed it for sure.
No doubt about that on the defensive side. And obviously what played into the fact that you were able to make the comeback late is Merrimack was just completely stymied, thoroughly thwarted in terms of being able to run the football. I mean, when you look at a stat, talk about a stat that jumps off, minus, well into the minus with their inability to run the ball, ended up with a net minus 26. That certainly played into the hands of you being able to get the offense back. Really set the tone on the defensive side there, Coach.
It sure did. You know, they gave us, their quarterback was an outstanding kid. They had some speed at the slot. And I thought 88 was a great receiver, too. So they certainly gave us all they could handle, you know, in the pass game. And I think we have room for improvement on defense in our pass defense. But anytime you can make a team play one-handed and you know what they're going to do, Bernie, it's certainly easier to tee off, and certainly easy to predict what you're going to do and they're going to do. So overall, very, you know, outstanding job stopping the run. Still have room for improvement in terms of stopping the pass.
It just made up gave up the one big play, Coach, the one break there on the 76-yard touchdown pass, and then the turnover on the punt that set up the other touchdown. As far as the Merrimack quarterback, once again, we talked about him going in last week with Sergiotis. Looked like a legit Division I quarterback, which he was as a starter for UConn 3 years ago. I mean, he presented some, you know, real serious problems. Was he even tougher live than he was on film as you got ready to be able to handle him?
Yeah, he could scramble just well enough, Bernie. He made some great throws. He had obviously a very live arm, and the combination thereof put him at a level that we're probably not going to see
right.
A much better quarterback than that this year, although we'll certainly be severely tested this week against Brown.
I get also a shout-out for Alex Washington. He got beat on a touchdown, but then was there to rise to the occasion in a big way to break up that final Merrimack salvo in overtime. Credit him. You know he's one of your lockdown guys and one of your veteran guys on that veteran defense.
Yeah, I think right now that's a very strong position for us. You know, both guys have been a little bit banged up in preseason, A. Wash and Khalil, and
I think back our conversation last week, and the first thing that you spoke about Merrimack on the defensive side of the ball was their overall, was their team speed. That certainly came into play to keep you guys in check and not to allow Bourget to get to the edge and get to the perimeter. You know, once again, you talk about Sergiotis on one side of the ball, probably not going to face a defense this year, maybe as fast overall or as athletic as Merrimack would be, maybe your expectation.
Yeah, Bernie, we expected them to be good, and they were even better. And just in terms of the overall team speed was exceptional. And, you know, they were very rugged up front. They could make plays, and the combination thereof is, you know, they're a Division I scholarship school, and they've got some great athletes. I think someone told me they had something like 25, 30 transfers on their team, and the combination really gave us a lot to handle. Again, they played like it was their third game, and we played like it was their first, and, you know, we have to transition much better this week as we get into the Ivy League schedule.
Commentary, Coach, you've had the opportunity, obviously, the breakdown that ensues after every game. Performance of the O-line, it's a veteran unit overall. You've got about 3.5 to 4 starters back of the 5 from last year. Your thoughts on them first time out in live action against a pretty, as we talk about, a pretty tough opponent?
I thought it was a solid outing for our first, you know, as a complete group, for our first opportunity to play live. But we need to do better. Our quarterback got hit too many times, and, you know, that's just not something that we're going to be able to overcome over the course of time. And I'm very confident that we'll step it up in our second game this week and give our quarterback more time and perhaps be a much more balanced offense.
And in the special game with Sebastian Tasco inheriting the punting duties from veteran John Sod, who handled it over a number of seasons going back, your thoughts on him? Average was there, and he may be a little busier than you'd hoped in the first game.
Yeah, we did punt the ball too many times, and in third down conversions are, you know, certainly a focus for us this week in practice and against Brown. But I thought Sebby did a good job. When you've had the luxury of a guy like John Sott for so long, you know, no question the best punter in Harvard football history, and that's why he's punting at a very high level for Notre Dame this year. But Sebby did a good job for a young kid. You know, his parents were born in Hungary. He still speaks the language. I believe Sebby was born in Hungary as well. But great kid, good start. You know, one start a career does not make, but obviously trending.
And kept the streak alive. You mentioned the 2% factor, but incredible mark of 20 straight wins in the home openers. That's remarkable. You had a lot to handle in order to keep that streak alive on Friday, Coach.
Yeah, Bernie, I don't think I was aware of it. The number that I was quoted was 21 in a row, which is apparently the second longest in the nation, but I would not have guessed that in a million years.
Right.
But it is definitely something for our kids and our fans and certainly our former players and alumni to be proud of.
That's right, 20. I misspoke there. That was 21. You were 20 going in, and fortunately you were 21 going on the other way, on the way out on Friday, rather late night on the way out. This week's opponent, you jump right in, as has been the configuration of the schedule here for a number of years. First Ivy League opponent is Brown once again. Pretty wild overtime win for them, shootout for them in a seesaw game where similarities to your performance on Friday, they had to come back against a pretty tough Bryant team in order to win.
Well, Brian, a lot like Merrimack, is a legitimate Division I scholarship team. Brown, I don't believe, has beaten them in about 5 years, so it was a huge win and an emotional one for Brown. And like you said, it was, from a fan standpoint, you know, there was a lot of fireworks. And, you know, this is a very good offensive Brown team once again. We did a great job defending them last year with E.J. Perry, who's now in the NFL. But they had almost 600 yards total offense and managed to put up a very explosive display. So we will have our hands full, as always, with Brown offense. Their Brown defense is much improved. So I don't see anybody in our league being a team that isn't a quality team. Obviously, it'll sort itself out, but Brown's a true believers in their home opener this week. And the combination thereof is going to be another big challenge for us right off the bat.
You mentioned about E.J. Perry. I guess if anybody was looking for a major drop-off because of how special he was and being at the NFL level now, thoughts of what you've seen of Jake Wilcox. He's the heir apparent, threw for almost 403 touchdowns in his first time out last week. Pretty impressive numbers.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Bernie, you can't fake those numbers. And bottom line is, I'm not sure he's E.J. Perry, but he is athletic. He can throw the rock. He clearly understands the offense, and the combination thereof is, you know, he's a guy that we got to do a much better job in pass coverage. We got to stop the run to not be able to, for them to hopefully play one-handed. But, you know, the Brown offense, you're not going to stop them completely. You just got to make sure that you put enough pressure on them, play well in the red zone, and force some turnovers.
And finally, Coach, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this, knowing you for as long as I've known you, it is the fact that you're going to be back playing in a more conventional Saturday. I know you'd like to play, probably you'd like every Saturday to be Thanksgiving and play at 10 in the morning, knowing you.
Oh, no question about that. But, you know, I look at the bright side of having played a Friday night game the week before. It gives us a little more opportunity to prepare. It gives us a little bit more rest. And, you know, being able to just take a bus down to Providence is not a bad thing at all. So, you know, always looking forward to your opening game in league. It's been Brown for 30 years, so I think there'll be a good crowd. We'll be excited. We're going to have a nice day, and this will be a very good and tough football game.
Thanks, Coach. Final comment, our Crimson profile this week, not surprisingly, it's going to be Nate Leskovic. His performance last week, my goodness, 4.5 sacks, 7 overall tackles, 6 solos. I remember, you're old enough to remember when Fred Lynn had his 10 RBI night back in 1975, his rookie year. I think the comment was from the analyst from Ken Harrelson at the time was, Fred Lynn had a season last night. Nate Leskovic had a season last Friday night. My goodness, what a performance.
Yeah, it certainly was, and we expect big things from Nate. He's one of the best edge rushers we've ever had here. And when you have the combination of our inside guys in general, and, you know, Thor Griffith in particular, I think they combined for something like 7 or 8 sacks. So,
yep.
Again, you kind of got, you know, the big, strong, physical DT, and then you've got the edge guy, and we've got other guys, you know, whether it be North Peters, whether it be Tana Hooleman, whether it be Truman Jones. This has a chance to be a really good group. I don't know exactly where we are with depth just yet. We haven't been tested enough. But, boy, with those guys up front, we're going to be in every game.
Don't know about the depth yet, but you know about the resilience of your team and the drive and the desire to win, and really, as you mentioned, epitomizing what your program's been all about since 1994 and when you took it over. It was that type of win. Coach, thanks very much for your time. As always this week, our time with Tim. And best of luck this Saturday. We'll see you in Providence and get ready to tee it up and get that Ivy League slate started.
Yeah, thank you very much, Bernie. Appreciate all you do and look forward to seeing you in Providence.
Coach Murphy, our time with Tim this week on Inside Harvard Football.